Welcome to Cage Dive Radio with Our Shark. This is a podcast where I put together a playlist of songs based on listener-suggested themes and bring them here for you to enjoy. Send me a theme idea and you get to pick any one song for me to include on that episode. Also, vote for your favorite song each week to hear another track by the same artist on the following episode. Themes and votes can be sent to me at itsourshark@gmail.com or on Twitter at itsourshark. Now, let's dive in and get wet. Man, here we go again with another episode of Cage Dive Radio. This one is going to be a listener-submitted theme. The idea of the show is going to be songs related to the episode number of the show. This is episode 9, so we're going to be playing a list of songs that has to do with the number 9 and any assortment of ways that I might see fit. I'm going to use my best judgment, and we're going to get a really good energy of songs this week. I'm feeling the vibe already, feeling the flow. Feeling real positive, I'm feeling energetic, I'm feeling like I'm ready to dig into things, and keeping that in mind, we're going to move right along into Rory's suggested song. I'm going to play it right off the top. No bullshitting around this week. So here's what we got. I got an email from Rory letting me know he wanted to do 1999 by Prince, and here's 9 reasons why. So he's really getting into the 9 theme. I'm enjoying that. Everybody buckle in for a whole lot of 9 mentions because I got a lot coming our way. And let's get into this list. Number 1. Not only does it feature 1 9, but it features 3 9s. Observant, I appreciate that, and I also agree, it does include 3 9s. Number 2, despite it being 17 years past its prime, it is still a staple of many New Year's playlists. Also true, timeless song, really, which is ironic, or maybe not ironic, but at least coincidental, given that it's specifically about time. Way to go, Prince. Number 3, it was referenced in Will 2K by Will Smith, Gangsta's Paradise by Weird Al Yankovic, and George Washington by Brad Neely. Interesting, I was not aware of that, but I feel more than happy to share it with all the listeners. Number 4. It's Prince, come on! Obviously, I'm right there with you, Rory. Number 5. If you think about it, Prince's symbol kinda looks like the number 9 designed by an ancient Egyptian Tim Burton. Okay, alright, I'm still with you. Getting a little weird, but I enjoy the vibe. Number 6. The awesomeness of the song makes up for the lameness of my own 1999 New Year's Eve, where I just had half a glass of champagne at my aunt's house. Oh, Rory. Come on now. It depends on how old you were in 1999. I'm guessing that you probably, first of all, were not old enough to drink, and secondly, nobody was doing any cool thing on New Year's Eve at your age group anyway, so let it go. Number 7. Like every great 80s song, it's a happy song with depressing, apocalyptic lyrics. See also 99 Luftballons, another strong contender for this 9 choice. I also thought of that song. I did a little bit different maybe take on the 9 theme. We'll get into that as the rest of the list goes on, but it is definitely a very upbeat song with some pretty troubling lyrics as well. Number 8 leads right in. Speaking of the lyrics, they are full of fun, crazy imagery. I'm particularly fond of "I've got a lion in my pocket and baby it's ready to roar." Prince does love the animals in pocket picture, as the girl in Little Red Corvette had a pocket full of horses. Now, Prince pretty much alludes to anything and everything being in his pocket. He's a dude who just has sexuality all over his lyrics. And, I mean, even not even necessarily in lyrics. You listen to Darling Nikki and you'd be like, damn, that's explicit as hell. But that's the way he gets down. Number 9. Maybe I'm being nostalgic, but 1999 itself was a fantastic year. Who doesn't love good old-fashioned pre-9/11 pop culture? Spot on there also. Definitely 9/11 being a huge turning point in the entire world, but specifically maybe for somebody coming of age at that time in America. That was right around the time that I certainly was coming of age. That would have been, I would have been turning 15 years old in 1999. That would have been a good time. And man, probably everybody feels like that as far as being 15. But anyway, all those are excellent reasons to play 1999 by Prince, so we're going to jump straight into that. This one's going to be, I got all the time in the world, man. I'm ready to get just the whole thing started, so I'm going to do the full version of 1999, no radio friendly. This is Cage Dive Radio. We go all the way out. We play the full song, unedited. No editing. Well, just obviously that's included in no editing. Just get down with this. Get ready.
Don't worry. I won't hurt you. I only want you to have some fun.
That's a classic jam. That one, I think, is going to be a great way to kick things off. Actually, here's what we're going to do. Last week, the Make Out and Love Making songs got a plethora of votes. The decisive smash winner for last week's episode was Electric Feel by MGMT, which apparently is pronounced management, but if you want to be called management, just you got to name your band management. I'm going to say MGMT. MGMT got the most votes, and it also so happens that Rory's vote was MGMT, so everything's coming up Rory on episode number 9. I'm going to play that song, or actually I'm going to play a different song by MGMT next. It's going to fit right in the vibe with 1999. This is another track off the same album, Oracular Spectacular. Somebody might be out there saying, oh, what are you going to do, two songs off the same album? Yeah, I am. I'll tell you why. I really liked Oracular Spectacular. The follow-up, Congratulations, and the most recent album, MGMT, or Management, whatever, just didn't do it for me. I don't know. Didn't have the same energy. Didn't have the same vibe. It's kind of real, more mellow and kind of spacey. So, I mean, that's fine, but not kind of thing that I'm feeling for this particular episode. We got to go hard with number 9. So maybe the next album, which should be coming out sometime in 2016, according to the members of MGMT, they're going to be dropping a new album, Invading Our Brains once again. And so hopefully that turns out to be a great addition to the catalog for this show. In the meantime, we've got a great song to take its place. This is called Time to Pretend, and this was really the breakout song for MGMT. Caught them all the attention that led to their record deals, and also led them to be able to record Electric Feel. So in that sense, we can really thank this song and appreciate it even more this week.
I'm feeling rough, I'm feeling rough.
there was Time to Pretend by MGMT. I still love that song. Definitely one of the better ones of that group. We're going to go into the next song. We're getting back to number nines now. And this is fitting for a couple of different reasons. Number one, we're talking about a gangster rapper, the one and only Curtis 50 Cent Jackson, one of my personal favorites, and not just in the hip-hop genre. He is one of the most fascinating figures in music today. I do not exaggerate when I say that that is my personal opinion. Everything he does is interesting to me. Everything he has to say is spellbinding. The guy is just, he's incredible. So anyway, the song we're going to be doing here is called Nine Shots. Surprise! Curtis 50 Cent Jackson was shot nine times, which is kind of obviously the claim to fame, and really was one thing that kind of catapulted him to the forefront of the industry at the time that he released his debut album, Get Rich or Die Tryin'. So anyway, having been shot nine times, I think now I probably, God, I wish I would have done a little bit of research. How likely is it that he was shot with a 9mm? It's extremely likely, and I'm sure that that is something I could look up, and I'm just going to go ahead and stamp it. I'm right. He was shot with a 9mm. I'm just going to say it. Anyway, he was shot nine times. The song Nine Shots is a cool song. It really just came out very recently, within the last year. I want to say late 2015. Nine Shots basically coincides. The nine bullet wounds that he received are going to coincide with painful memories that occurred in his previous part of his life up to the time of the shooting. So it's kind of a flashback. It gives an explanation and some of the things that he went through, which for anybody who's followed his career is a fairly familiar story at this point. He's got an autobiography out, or a memoir anyway, that he released, which is called From Pieces to Weight. And that's also incredibly interesting. I would suggest that to anybody who's interested in 50 Cent or music in general as a good read. Obviously, the subject matter is a little bit painful for 50 to recount, but it certainly gives us an inside feeling into his state of mind at the time that he was growing up. One of the things I think is most interesting too is that he's a little bit more open of later years, more open about his relationship with his mother, who was murdered, which is unfortunate, obviously. Being part of the drug trafficking industry, obviously live a dangerous lifestyle. But aside from that, it was rumored that his mother was a lesbian or bisexual, which has got to be challenging for a young kid in any environment, let alone the kind of environment that he grew up in. You know, it's just anything that you can get picked apart for, kids are going to pick you apart. And that's got to be something that's especially tough. Not only do you have to deal with getting picked on for that, but you have to deal with a loss for as well. It's just, I don't know. It seems like a really difficult situation for anybody to face. And I think that that's probably why it seems most prevalent, or at least definitely a starting off point for the song. I'll let the song speak for itself. Enjoy this as Nine Shots by 50 Cent.
I was innocent then, I ain't do no wrong. She said, you mind me, little man? I said, yep, uh-huh. She was everything to me. When she came, I just lit up. Sunday morning, I was so sharp. All did up, it was welfare hustling. They killed her for that. The first shot, bullet wound in my back. I'm fucked up, look at my sneakers. I'm fucked up, now I'm on my own. Mommy gone, Sam said, you a young boy. Why your clothes look so old? You don't need fish, little nigga, you need a pole. You don't need no new kicks, you need a O. Shop that bag, it get right back at it. It touched me, it hit me in my heart. I'm a hustler, homie, he was giving me my start. I am what I am, Sabrina's only baby. Practicing in the mirror, pulling out my 380. Oh man, I fucked up, Nana gon' kill me. Whenever shit can go wrong, it always will. See, 7 grams of cocaine, 3 grams of dope. St. Mary medallion, hanging from my robe. Try to punk me and my gun smoke. Look, I'm out of control. My gun go. Off like it's legal. Call the cops you need to. Give them my description. I ain't bullshitting. My high school sweetheart love didn't last long. Niggas start flashing that bread and she was gone. That hurt me like the bullet in my calf. My next girl was a pain in the ass. I got 2 shots left in case niggas try to get me. That's 9 shots. We'll just call it 50.
Mama said the Lord gon' bless us. Mama said, mama said, mama said the Lord gon' bless us. Then in came the landlord beef and the stresses. Mama said the Lord gon' bless us. Mama said, mama said, mama said the Lord gon' bless us. Then dope order shit the food stamps couldn't get us. Mama said the Lord gon' bless us. That's what mama said. That's what mama said.
Ah, damn, man, that's rough. That song, while I like it, is obviously a song about hardship and violence and death, unfortunately, especially the death of your mother. I haven't experienced that, thank God. Hopefully I will not for a very long time, but especially as an eight-year-old, that's just too much, man. I can't handle that kind of thought process. Let's celebrate life. Let's celebrate new beginnings. Let's celebrate pregnancy. 9 months in a pregnancy, you take that baby to term, you're gonna be going the full 9 months, right? So that's our next number nine song. This is a song called, well, unfortunately it's not 9 days late, it's 10 days late by Third Eye Blind, another derivative of three, right? You get three times Third Eye Blind is nine. See what we're doing there? If you can have three nines in 1999, I can use that trick. So anyway, 10 Days Late by Third Eye Blind. This is a song Stephen Jenkins wrote basically about a guy getting told by his girlfriend that she's 10 days late on her period. She's pregnant. And that sudden realization that not only are you about to have a baby, you're fully... I don't know if this is maybe fair to say for every man, and I think it's probably fair to say that men and women experience the realization that they're going to have a baby differently, because it's different experience entirely, and I certainly don't want to put words in any woman's mouth, but speaking for men, at least in my own personal experience, I think it seems like that is a time when you can no longer deny your adulthood. You can live as an adult. You have a job, have a place of your own, have a house, have a wife, girlfriend, whatever. But once you find out that you're going to be a father, there is no longer denying the fact that you are an adult and you need to reassess everything in your entire life. It's completely life-changing, up and down, across the board. There's no doubt about that. And kind of the mixed emotions that this guy displays in the songs, from being happy to being worried and then feeling like, well, I'm knowing you forever. Once that baby comes into the world, you can always maybe have in the back of your head, yeah, you know, I'm married, but that's just words. You know, if your vows don't really mean anything to you, I guess. But once you have that baby, you're going to know the mother of that child forever. You will always have them in your life. And that level of finality, or I guess not necessarily finality, but certainty, it can be overwhelming. And I think this is a really cool song that illustrates that. 10 Days Late by Third Eye Blind. 9 months of pregnancy. Keep those nines coming.
Something big to tell me. Back in the ocean, drop back in the ocean. There's no simple way to let you know. Funny how she always cried out, Daddy, I got a big surprise. Said, I'm in trouble now and cannot wait. She's 10 days late. Boy, your life got complicated when I can't wait to see this. Catch a glow. Oh no, baby. Oh no, no. I don't know. At the ocean and talk back at the ocean. No.
say, I walk away with the no. Don't go at the ocean. Talk back at the ocean. Give me a minute now to figure out my state. She's 10 days late, and I'm never gonna fade it. Guess I'll always be knowing you.
There's 10 Days Late Again by Third Eye Blind. I really like that song, obviously. I don't know why I feel the need to reemphasize that. I like all the songs that I play, so let's just get that right off the bat. Next song we got coming up is September by Earth, Wind, and Fire, the ninth month of the year. That's our in. Things are about to get a little bit crazy in here because everybody loves September by Earth, Wind, and Fire. This song has a little bit of interesting history, actually. The hectic nature of getting ready for a baby leads into this very nicely because Earth, Wind, and Fire put together this song. September is going to be instantly recognizable for anybody and everybody that has ever been to a party, like a wedding reception or any kind of party. It is definitely a party song. This song actually was inspired by a protest. In Washington, D.C., Maurice White was in a hotel room or something, and he saw a protest going on while he was in Washington, D.C., and just the song came to him and came together at that moment, which is such a weird juxtaposition. You think of the attitude of the song, and then you think of what inspired the song, and you think, how do these two things kind of come together? That is such a bizarre turn. But the other thing that really is cool about this song, Allie Willis co-wrote this song with Maurice White and another member of Earth, Wind, and Fire. I'm sorry, the name escapes me. But anyway, the interesting part about Allie Willis writing this song was that a good part of the song actually doesn't necessarily have any meaning. One of the more specific parts that you'll recognize when you hear "Bada Ya," this "Bada Ya," that's all it says. That's the words. And it really bothered her at the time that she came in to write with them to have nonsensical lyrics, something that just didn't make any sense. She said, "We have to change that." And Maurice White said, "No, man, it feels awesome. You gotta keep that in there. It feels good. That's what people are going to remember." And damned if he was wrong, because that's one of the best parts of the song. And that's one of the things that I know I've said before on Cage Dive Radio. That's one of the things that I think is the most enjoyable about music, is when you can tell the performer is just so enraptured with what they are doing that they just got to make a noise. It doesn't even have to make sense. They just got to make a noise. They just got to scream. They got to say gibberish. They got to say, "Ugh, yeah," or whatever. Doesn't matter. If you are that into it, that is definitely going to communicate to me. And this song just has nonsensical words. It just feels good to say it. So that's a cool part about September. Anyway, the 21st of September is also something that really had no meaning whatsoever. It just fit nicely with the cadence of the song, and they said they tried other dates, but none of them tended to work as well as the 21st, so that's what they went with, right? Anyway, here it is, Earth, Wind, and Fire. This is September. Think about all that weird stuff while you listen to the song and tell me that it doesn't possibly give a new perspective on it.
While chasing
Earth, Wind, and Fire with September, man. If you were not singing or dancing to that song, I do not believe you for one second. Do I? No, absolutely not. I'm calling bullshit. You were definitely dancing. You were nodding your head. You were tapping your foot. You were doing something with your fingers. You were whispering the songs, or you were like keeping it in your throat, like you're humming or whistling or something. That song is so infectious. There is absolutely no possible way that you did not have a response to it. I do not believe you. Now, the other thing that's interesting about September by Earth, Wind, and Fire is that was put together for the Greatest Hits album. What? That is a bizarre fact in itself. Forget about the idea that that song is so infectiously positive and happy and uplifting, and it came from inspiration of a violent protest. That's weird enough. But the idea that a song like that is thrown in on the Greatest Hits album, that is mind-boggling, because typically, when you have a Greatest Hits album, you just get, here's the top hits. Here you go, right down the line. Sometimes you'll get the artist to throw in an additional new song, and it's a throwaway garbage song that just wasn't, it was like a B-side that just never made the cut for one of their earlier albums. Not the case with this one. That one's a smash. That one's awesome. And I'm going to keep that same kind of energetic, but I'm going to do the rest of these songs are going to be danceable. I'm going to be feeling real loose the rest of this show. We're going to get things feeling real, real happy around here. Feeling some positive energy around the number 9. I don't know if that's a sacred geometry thing. Is that like a mathematical? Maybe that's why I'm feeling good about these tracks because it's all 9 related. I don't know. Anyway, the next song that we're playing, you didn't think you were going to get through this without having a Nine Inch Nails song on this playlist, did you? You should not have. Because Trent Reznor is one of my personal favorites. Nine Inch Nails, of course, not everybody, I guess, is aware of this. Nine Inch Nails is a band, but really, it's just Trent Reznor. Trent Reznor does everything for Nine Inch Nails. He puts it together in the studio. He's got a touring band. And I'm sure he has input from other creative people. But as far as the content of Nine Inch Nails, it's Trent Reznor. And the dude has gone through such a wide spectrum as far as the content and the disposition of his music. So the song that I'm going to be playing is from the album The Slip. It's called Discipline, which... 9 related. I've Nine Inch Nails, of course, is the obvious one. But also, I'm good with Discipline because of the whoosh, cat of nine tails. Meow. I think that's a good throw-in to bring along with the 9 related theme. So this song is Discipline. Now, one thing about The Slip, this is something I found interesting about Trent Reznor specifically, because The Slip came out after he finally separated ties with Interscope. Now, he was signed to Interscope, I want to say, from Pretty Hate Machine all the way through. The Slip was the first album that was released independently. And so the first single off the album was Discipline. It was turned around. Basically, it was released to radio stations. So it was sent directly from Trent Reznor. It didn't come from an A&R dude or anybody at a radio station. It comes straight from Trent Reznor. He sends it out less than 24 hours after the mastering is completed on the song. And that's how fast it hit the radio, which is cool. But the odd thing to me is that after he gets his release from Interscope, after all the battles that he has being part of a major record label, he finally gets his freedom. He releases The Slip. And then does he realize that, oh, the benefit to being behind a giant machine or having a giant machine of a record label behind you is that they are able to market your tour and give you support for your album that you don't get independently, which is like, dude, no shit. How did you not realize that at the time that you were working for Interscope? That's such a weird mind-boggler. I don't understand it. But I'm not going to harp on it too much because the vibe of this song is just too cool. It's just too danceable. So we're going to get into that. I'm going to dance to myself a little bit. This is Discipline by Nine Inch Nails.
Like I'm wearing down, 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 down.
Man, that song's cool as hell. That was Discipline by Nine Inch Nails. Now, I mentioned earlier that Trent Reznor has gone through such a wide spectrum as far as the content and the disposition of his music, and that is definitely exemplified by that song. So, or personified? I don't know. Moving on. That song is almost straight up disco, which you would never expect from early Trent Reznor, but right around the time of With Teeth, when With Teeth came out, I remember specifically The Hand That Feeds had like this kind of disco line, this bass line, and now he's getting into these like splashy hi-hats with the tss, 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 tss. And it's just unapologetically dance music. It's almost disco, and things get even more to that end with the follow-up to The Slip, which was I'm having a difficult time remembering the name of that album. And it was a copy of a copy. Blew it on that one. Forget about that. Moving on, we're still talking about Discipline. So anyway, he has all this, you know, accumulated knowledge and breadth of different genres that he incorporates into his music. But he definitely seems to have come into a place where he's much more happy with himself. I remember he had a specific quote that I had seen at some point where he said, "I am not proud to admit that oftentimes I hate myself," which is, it makes sense given the lyrical content of his earlier work and even just the vibe. But the weird thing is, as happy as that music seems to be, and it seems like within the last, 5 to 6 years, he's really kind of come into his own as kind of accepting himself and getting in a good place, which is great, absolutely great for Trent Reznor. But he still includes, even in that type of song, there is a point where you can still hear that, like, that vacuous, sucking air, like a seashell up to your ear, hollow sound that to me is so signature Trent Reznor that, if Hurt and the hand that feeds had a baby, it would be something like this. Just that weird paradox, or not paradox, but anyway, just the contrast between the different influences on that song. Anyway, really cool one. Look at me. I'm just rambling on about this. I said I was going to keep things moving, keep it fresh and danceable. So we're going to get into the next song now. Talk about interesting backstories. This song is called Cold Hearted by Paula Abdul. It's off of Forever Your Girl. And not a lot of people know the story behind this song. This is a really sit down in your seats. Hold on to the edge of your seat because you're going to be sitting on it. Is that how that saying goes? Get ready for some shock value. This song is about a dude. Let's get the nine relation out of the way. Okay, so in the classic literary work, Dante's Inferno, the ninth circle of hell is reserved for the betrayers, the traitors. Cold-hearted is not probably really exactly what we have in mind when we talk about this, because it's a little more along the lusty, adulterous side. But still, this girl's given him all her loving, anytime he needs it, and he's out there. Basically, the whole world's a candy store, and he's been trick-or-treating. So this guy's got to go. He's a betrayer. He's betrayed her trust. And that's kind of the vibe that we're going to be going with as far as cold-hearted. Now, the other thing that's nice about that is because in the ninth circle of hell in Dante's Inferno, the wings of Lucifer himself flap so fervently that it causes gusty blizzard winds. Everybody's frozen. It's a perfect match. Cold-hearted is the perfect match. So that's the song we're going to be going with. Now, here's the interesting thing behind here. Not a lot of people know about this. So it's fairly common knowledge that Paula Abdul had a relationship with Emilio Estevez back in the 1980s. Now, some people theorize that Cold Hearted is actually written by Paula Abdul about Emilio Estevez. Get real, son. Do you really think Paula Abdul is writing these songs? Of course not. She's a pop star. She has people write her songs for her. Author of this song is Elliot Wolff. Now, this is where things do get interesting. Elliot Wolff actually wrote the song about Paula Abdul's then relationship, but it was not with Emilio Estevez. It was actually with MC Scat Cat, who you might recognize. Now, they eventually were able to mend these fences. So, Paula Abdul and MC Scat Cat had an ongoing relationship. It was very controversial at the time because she was a young starlet. He is an animated feline who fashions himself as a rapper. These two didn't seem like they were ever going to make it. And surprise, the relationship completely imploded. MC Scat Cat was stepping out on her all the time, treating her like dirt. People saw it and didn't like it. And so Elliot Wolff was inspired by that to write Cold Hearted about MC Scat Cat. Now, after some time, Paula Abdul and MC Scat Cat were able to reconcile their differences a little bit. Now, they didn't rekindle their romance, but they did pair together for a duet called Opposites Attract. Now, you might remember the music video for Opposites Attract, in which they basically play lovers that are, you know, kind of talking about, oh, he likes to stay up late, I like to go to bed early, which is classic pop radio fodder. Things were looking up for MC Scat Cat a little bit because he'd clean up his act, he got off drugs, he did a lot of coke when he was going out with Paula Abdul. Got himself clean, got himself on the right path. But unfortunately, MC Scat Cat, actually very shortly after the filming of the video for Opposites Attract, he was mounting a campaign for his new artistry, kind of getting a new lease on life. He died of a heat stroke while he was in West Palm Beach. Didn't really listen to some people that advised him it'd be a good idea to get out of the sun, and he perished, unfortunately. Especially unfortunate given the timing, because he was all set to make his smash debut. Sad. Anyway, that is basically the story behind Cold Hearted. R.I.P.
Play. He don't play by rules. Oh, oh, oh. Girl, don't then he called you up to check that you were waiting by the phone. All the world's a candy store, he's been trick or treating. When it comes to true love, girl, with him there's no one home. Number one without a doubt. Wonder when he is, he is always, always screaming, screaming like a little slug under every real life. You've been working, working on the love, and he's been only, only playing on the cover all the while. Take a, take another, another look into his eyes, and you will only see a reptile. You could find some other better girl. He could only make you cry. You deserve some other better girl. Gotta tell ya, he's good, cold as ice.
And with that, another episode of Cage Dive Radio with Our Shark comes to a close. Thank you again for joining me on the songs related to number 9. What a great playlist. I enjoyed that one quite a bit. A lot of good energy on there. Honorable mention to a song called On the Sidelines by The Nines. The band is called The Nines. The album is called The Nines. It is track number 9, On the Sidelines. I liked the song quite a bit. It was very pretty, but it didn't quite fit the vibe. It was a little bit of a downer, and I was keeping things popping on number 9 episode, so it wasn't really going to fit in that vein. Thanks again, Rory, for the theme idea. Remember that you can send your theme suggestions and votes for your favorite song to me via email at itsourshark@gmail.com or via Twitter at itsourshark. Thanks again for checking in with me on Cage Dive Radio. Please do download the episodes or leave reviews for me on iTunes. Let me know how you think about the show. Either way, this song, of course, is going to be held in memoriam for MC Scat Cat, a terrible, tragic loss that we still feel to this day. And remember the dangers of heat stroke, everybody. It's not a joking around kind of thing. That's a real, real problem. But we've certainly got the backbone to handle it. You were brave enough to come back for this episode. I'll see you again in the same spot for the next episode. Thanks again for diving in and getting wet.